Welcome back to We Watch Sports. This is the podcast that doesn't have a virus yet, but it is wondering just how cheap we could get a cruise for right now. We are your hosts, Graham and Andy, and this week we are very excited to announce a very special guest.
Very special.
I think his name is Wesley?
Yep.
Is that pronounced right?
Yep, it is.
Welcome to the podcast. Wes has a great podcast of his own.
He does.
Would you like to give a quick plug, Wes?
Yeah, it's My MMA Podcast. We have about 4 million listeners.
Wow. Is that monthly or yearly?
It's well, right now it's tracking.
Wow, that's unbelievable. That's incredible.
One of these days, you're going to surpass our 14 million, and we're just going to be looking at you like, man, we remember him when.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
that's almost.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that's almost enough listeners that you could buy your own pontoon boat with cash.
Well, there's Joe Rogan.
Yep.
There's Adam Carolla.
Correct. Yep.
There's We Watch Sports.
Yep.
Right.
Of course.
Then
you're listing these in reverse order of popularity.
My MMA podcast.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds right. I think if you look at the charts,
yep,
that's what you'll find.
Definitely on the charts.
What?
Lots
what
of charts.
Could someone expect when they tune into the My MMA podcast?
Three immature grown men in their 40s who think that they know a lot about mixed martial arts and boxing, when they really don't, and then every now and then there's some stupid banter and some really important sponsors that we have that no one's ever heard of that have their own commercials on there. So,
amen.
No, but for real,
we try to be
informative on mixed martial arts, but we also try to not take ourselves too serious and add some nice little stupid comedy in there to help people smile.
That sounds positive. Almost like the opposite of this podcast, where we do not try to be informative, but do try to have a little bit of banter.
Mm.
Just a scotch.
I actually can give you a lot of credit because I would not be into MMA without Wes.
Mm.
And I still, somewhere around here, I can dig it up, but I have your... I still have your UFC 8 DVD.
Oh, geez.
So I need to return that one of these days.
I think that's.
Do you remember who any of the people on UFC 8 were?
Oh gosh,
Dan Severn.
I believe that was when Mark Coleman beat Don Fry in the finals of the tournament. Mark Coleman made it to the finals. He was a newcomer. Don Fry was the current heavyweight champ. I think. Does someone want to fact check me real quick and see if I'm on?
I don't
believe in fact checking.
Yeah, we don't do that here. we follow a White House protocol.
Yep.
So
I think Mark Coleman won it, and I also think, or maybe it was when Don Fry and Tank Abbott were in the finals. Gosh, that's like that's 1995, 96 is when UFC.
I haven't heard the name Tank Abbott in quite some time.
Well, he's still making headlines, so probably should pay attention.
Also,
that's because he's in local government now.
I also heard Dan Severin, and I just remember he had the craziest mustache. It was hearty, it was thick, it was incredible.
I'm fact checking myself right now. Let's see if I'm right. Hold on, here we go. You guys ready?
I bet you're right.
Well, I just put this in the Google machine, and I'm gonna see if it's gonna come up.
Are you asking Jeeves?
Yep.
That's where I go first.
Actually, my Google machine isn't working. Oh, here it comes.
Oh, no.
Here it comes.
Come on, Jeeves.
Get it together.
Let's see here.
My Netscape Navigator is not navigating.
Oh, my gosh. I was so wrong.
Okay.
So very wrong. It was actually... Let's see here. UFC 8 was Don Fry, so I still had that right.
That's impressive.
Yep.
Beat Gary Goodridge in the finals, who unfortunately has some brain damage currently. Good Gary Goodrich does.
Well,
in his 50s.
That's unusual for MMA, isn't it?
No. That's not at this point. In fact, hey, I just heard, like, Graham, you're training in jiu-jitsu, right?
Yes.
I just saw, like, 2 months ago that there are studies being shown where guys that's been doing jiu-jitsu for a long time are now suffering from brain trauma from getting choked unconscious. Because we used to think, like, well, if you're not getting punched, your brain's not getting rattled. So then, but now there's starting to show some signs of, you know, early signs of dementia, or because they're just, because they've been doing it for so long that they're being choked unconscious or choked so many times that it's, but I guess if you're losing oxygen to the brain, I guess that's a,
you're trying to tell me that completely restricting and depriving your brain of blood is going to cause damage?
That sounds like fake news to me.
Allegedly. It's an alleged. It's not. No one's confirming that. It's just alleged. Yeah.
That's fake news.
That sounds fake like news. Fake news. Are you telling me that extended time in a dragon chokehold is causing people to get dementia?
A dragon chokehold.
All of my MMA references are loosely based on professional wrestling moves.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we will.
We'll get to that. I wanted to start off this week with a we have a you know, several million loyal listeners, and a lot of them like to write in letters to us. They send us email. They send us postage mail. Mm-hmm. Gotten a few telegrams. But word of your presence on our podcast today brought in a very special letter from somebody we've never received a letter for.
Yep.
And I think we'll go ahead and start with that.
Yeah. I'm excited. I haven't seen it yet either, Graham. You pick this one out.
I'm ready.
All right.
The name's Pete Price. Thank you so much for your time and dedication to your craft. You really are a group of fine gentlemen. A little about me. I was born in 1921 and grew up on the mean streets of Venice, North Carolina, where I cut my teeth for the local WSLS news station as a coffee runner. For 56 years, I worked my way through the ranks, and I eventually became head of sports media for all things North Central North Carolina and North South Central Virginia region. I recently took on a new endeavor as the voice of WCOK Radio, covering all things Allegheny High School athletics.
Oh, jeez.
My question to you, Wes, is this. What are your picks for this year's top five student-athletes of Allegheny High, and why? This is Pete Price signing off from Radio WCOK, the voice of a cock. Until next time, go Trojans.
Wow, dude.
I think that's, aren't you from?
Yeah, how did he even know? How did he even know that I was, that I'm from Allegheny County, North Carolina?
It's, you know, just the dedication of our fans is pretty remarkable to have found that out already.
Well, and I didn't know I had such an impact, you know, where someone that I don't even know is researching me, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, well, if you roll with us, you get some rabid fans.
Pete Price, though. What a question. That was his name, right? Pete Price?
Yeah, Pete Price. That's right. Yep. He's the voice of WCOK Gospel Radio.
Got it.
he's the voice of the cock.
It's a noble job. Someone's got to do it. Someone's got to be the voice for the voiceless.
What's crazy is I just got it.
You know what's even crazier is that actually is a radio station from that area.
You did your research on this one,
Pete. Hey, Pete did it for me.
Yeah, he did.
Mm. So do you have top five student athletes of Allegheny High and
and why?
Why?
Yeah, sure. I've got what I have is I have a Google map. I literally just typed in Allegheny High School student athletics. to see, to okay. see, hold on. I really feel like I'm going to, you know, Zach Bennett, he is the head football coach at Allegheny High School.
Of course he is. Yeah. Coach of Bennett.
Course. Coach Brock as well. He's also in there, and they're just doing a great job. You've also got, you know, Matt Linker, who's a wrestling coach at Allegheny High School, and man,
classic.
What great coaches they are! As a now, there's so many student athletes.
It's hard to choose five.
I'm trying to just think of some right now because there's so many to choose from. But I do know there was...
They're all winners in your heart.
Well,
right?
I know that some of them have the last name Edwards because there's a small town like where I'm from. And
Didn't you grow up on a Christmas tree farm?
I grew up next to the Christmas tree and cabbage fields.
Wow.
Yep.
That was my life.
That'll be the name of your memoir. Christmas
trees. Christmas trees and cabbage.
The story of Russ.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Well, that's fair. We can put a pin in that. And when you go through the painstaking, you know, it's like picking your favorite children. Yeah. So I get it.
It's tough.
If nothing comes to mind. That's okay. Well, thank you, Pete.
Pistol Pete.
Shout out to Allegheny High.
Home of the Trojans.
This is probably the first podcast they've ever been on.
And remind me, okay. Pete is the voice of what?
WCOK, WCOK Gospel Radio.
That's right. That's right. I forgot.
Wacock.
And if just FYI, if anybody listens to this, that's from my church. I reject everything that Graham just said.
he had no knowledge of this.
No prior knowledge.
I'm just reciting a radio station that's in the local Innis area. I don't see what the big deal is.
Jeez, you even got my hometown. That's not even a town down. That's sticking great.
Holy. So I guess we can talk then about how we know each other. Wes and I have known each other for a long time, but the way that we all know each other is we worked in a to-be unnamed call center together.
We did.
And, man, that was a good time.
I mean, it's hard to believe that Wes's name is three letters, and yet everyone screwed it up consistently.
Mm.
That's probably my favorite Wes Edwards story. Do you know which one I'm talking about, Wes?
Where everyone called me Russ?
Yep. I remember, so we sat next to each other for a while, and my favorite time I remember was I could hear the conversation going, and you'd say, thanks for calling, blah, blah, blah. This is Wes. And the person goes, oh, hi, Wes. And you go, no, it's Wes without the T. Yeah. As if there's somebody named Wes in the world. And then the guy goes, oh, I'm sorry, Russ.
That's exactly about every phone call.
I'm so sorry, Bruce. That's incredible for such a seemingly simple name.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, it's like nobody's ever heard of the name Wes before.
That's tough.
And I would get Grant, is that
Grant?
You? I think I talked to you last time.
It's hard to believe just the sheer amount of time that we played Wii Bowling at work and then just got called the wrong names.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were just talking about this before we started recording, but I haven't seen Mr. Morris's face in 10 years.
And 10 whole years.
And what's great, he looks the exact same.
Exactly the same. I haven't aged.
You have not aged at all.
At all. I've actually aged backwards.
He has that Benjamin Button thing.
Yeah, I've got it.
He has Benjamin Button.
I do. You know, it unfortunately affects several people per year.
Mm.
And I'm. You know, I've got bracelets that I pass out to raise awareness, and you know, we do some yard signage occasionally, but it's you know, it needs. I'm trying to give a voice to the voiceless. You know, the people that are in their 30s and still get carded for rated R movies. That's this guy.
Wait. Do people still card for rated R movies?
I have been carded for a rated R movie within the last, I would say, 2 years.
Well, you know what? Good for you, movie theaters, for having integrity. That's good that movie theaters are still... I mean, who would have thought in 2020 that theaters still have integrity? But they do, apparently.
Well, there's this one artsy theater that I sometimes go to see weird movies. And the lady that works the front is at least 104 years old. it's actually sad because she shouldn't be there. And she cards me sometimes, which is just outrageous. It's also because she caught me trying to sneak into the Mr. Rogers movie one time.
Oh.
And then she shamed me like Game of Thrones. I wasn't even trying to sneak in. I had a ticket, but she shamed me for it. She even did the bell thing. Like she had a bell, but didn't. Which is just really, really hard to believe.
Did she, I mean, can we, do we have her name? Do we have a name?
I don't have a name, but I feel like it has to be like Evelyn. something around those lines.
Ruth.
Because Ruth, it's just got to be a good, wholesome, wholesome name, I think. But, you know, she is there every time. And I don't know if somebody left her there. And this is maybe, my theory is that either someone left her or she came with the building. So when the movie theater bought the building, she was just included at the purchase price.
Well, and they saw her throwing the diamond off of a ship one time, too. It was pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
It's crazy, you know?
Paint me like one of your French girls,
Andy. I think there was room on that door.
There was plenty of room. What a bitch.
Yeah. She let that guy drown. Unbelievable. But, you know, it's an experience for sure.
You know what else is an experience and something that I know that we all share this same passion.
Sure.
So we'd be doing ourselves a disservice if we didn't talk about it, at least for a little bit on this podcast. Andy and I have talked about it ad nauseum.
Yeah.
But we want to include you because it's a different opinion. But we self-identify as experts on fast food.
That's correct.
And I think, Wes, you would fall into that category. Am I wrong?
It depends on which fast food, but I do feel strong. I do feel strong about several different chains. And
yeah.
How do you feel about Casey's Pizza, just out of curiosity?
Never had it.
Gas station.
Okay. Never had it.
Okay.
Okay.
No.
All right. Okay, that's fine. We can get over that.
I'm about to throw this table.
What in the...
We... Go ahead.
No, you were about to ask me. I'm ready.
Okay.
I have not had this yet, but Andy preaches about it often. How do you feel, and have you had Popeye's chicken sandwich?
Well, I have not had it because partly because there's not a Popeye's necessarily near me, and the one that is near me, it is not clean. So I do struggle sometime with...
It is not...
If it's not clean, so I'm going to struggle with wanting to go eat the food there. It looks amazing. I mean, if we're just giving an eye test, you know, just a sheer eye test, I'm in. You know, I want it. Unfortunately, I'm not near a place where I don't feel like there potentially is fecal matter inside the burger or on the chicken sandwich.
I have a feeling that you are going to have to drive a long ways and risk maybe not finding a Popeyes that you would deem clean.
Well, and maybe that's the appeal. It's kind of like going to a Circle K gas station. Do you guys have that out there?
Absolutely.
Kangaroo, yep. Circle K. It's like, it's very similar to the bathrooms.
Yeah, it is. You've got to make that choice.
So, you know, I do like Popeye's chicken. I feel like it's an incredible chain. I feel like they're game changers. You know what I mean? And yep. I feel like they really, really have stepped up there.
So okay. You know how restaurants have the letter grades on them, like based on cleanliness?
Yes.
I would say if that Popeye's near you is at least a C or above, it is worth the risk to eat the chicken sandwich.
Okay.
If it's a D or lower, do not do it.
Okay.
fecal matter and all.
Yeah, fecal matter. And
I have a friend.
They just can't possibly be clean.
I have a friend who's a Chick-fil-A owner, and he schooled me on those scories, at least here in North Carolina, and they he told me if it's below 90, he said don't eat there. True story. My beautiful wife Tanya and I were hunkering for some blueberry pancakes, some chocolate milk. We're like, ah, who's got that? And we're like, you know what? IHOP does. We literally got in our car, like literally, as opposed to not drove.
We figuratively hopped in our car.
Like physically, you're in our car. We drive to the IHOP. We get out of our car. We then walk to the door, walk through the first, it's two sets of doors that all IHOPs, you know?
Yeah.
Walk through the first set, walk through the second set. Straight ahead is an 83 in front of us. Yeah. And we're like, we about faced. Turned right back around, got back in a car, went to Chipotle. So there you go.
If it's not the age of Andy's ticket taker at the movie theater or above,
that's true.
Don't do it.
You got to get that extra credit.
Well,
okay. My favorite is the Dairy Queen flamethrower cheeseburger. Have you had this?
I've not had the flamethrower, but I've had many cheeseburgers from the Dairy Queen, and I will vouch their bacon cheeseburger. Is fantastic. It rivals the Baconator, if I may.
Whoa! Praise.
You're bringing Wendell's into this equation.
I know why you like the Baconator. It's because you don't have to take off any vegetables.
Nothing.
To order.
I have to take nothing off of it. And you know what? They actually put mayonnaise and ketchup on there. See, on my burgers, I like mayonnaise and ketchup. And that's what they put on the Baconator.
And that's it. No, there's no vegetables on it.
You know,
I love it.
There's a breakfast Baconator now.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Wendell's is getting into the breakfast game.
Wendell's has a triple Baconator that I tried only once, and it was the last time I'll ever try it.
How sweaty were you afterwards?
It wasn't that I was sweaty. It's just I needed a nap, like a long, long nap.
You hibernated for 6 months.
Yeah, it's horrible. You feel horrible.
Now, Graham, can you have any of these burgers on your vegan diet?
Okay.
Can you?
Can I? Not technically.
Okay. But
Graham, are you vegan?
I have been vegan since November. My cholesterol, last time I got it checked, was 347.
Is that good?
It's supposed to be under 180. So
that's great.
I mean, if you're going for a world record in high cholesterol, then yeah, it's a good number. But
yeah,
if you want to live past the age of 42. So I've been trying it out since November. On Friday, I'm going to go get it checked and see if it's worth not eating meat or animal products. And if my cholesterol is not within range, I will promptly go to Dairy Queen and get a flamethrower burger.
Can you now please film it?
Yeah. Well, this is not a moral decision.
What if your cholesterol has actually gone up because of the vegan diet?
I'm going to double down on flamethrower burgers.
You'll get a flamethrower and a Baconator.
A double down sandwich. Yeah. I'm going to go find that triple Baconator sandwich.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not vegan and I'm almost 43. So what's the secret? Like, what am I missing then?
I don't know. I think it's just I was blessed with 10W30 as my blood viscosity from my parents, and I don't know. We'll see.
Well, growing up in Iowa, I would just assume that you ate red meat for every meal.
I mean, you know what my secret to having good steak is?
What's that?
Is you put a dollop of butter on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
So, I mean, you do the math. And if you can wrap that steak in bacon, all the better.
Mm.
I think it's a great idea.
Speaking of being healthy, something that Andy and I also really like is soda, even though it's not good for you. And
it's fantastic.
I remember making several walks to the gas station with you, Russ, to get soda. Mm. what's your what if our perfect soda is a Mountain Dew in a foam cup with little marble ice.
Yeah, you have to have the Sonic ice.
Yeah. What's your what's the perfect soda for you?
It's basic, man. I'm going Cherry Coke fountain.
Ooh.
Cherry Coke fountain.
From the fountain.
Yes.
I'll take the Sonic ice. You know, look, and at a restaurant, is it called grenadine? Is that what you call it? Grenadine? Is that a flavor? Is that the cherry flavor?
Yep.
Hey,
yep.
Sir, can you add some grenadine to that Coke that you're about to bring me? Yes. And they kind of look at me like I'm weird, and I'm like, it doesn't matter.
And it's Isn't that just pure sugar water?
Yep.
I think it's what hummingbirds drink.
It's I drink like 8 of them.
sir, there's not enough syrup in my Coke. Could you?
I know.
You pour some grenadine.
Well, it's crazy because every time I go to a restaurant, like I'm not much of a drinker. I don't. It's not a big deal if someone else wants to. I'm just not a huge alcohol guy. And so then when I say like we're like, you know, we have these, you know, these beers and this wine and all this stuff, and I'm like, do you have Coke? We sure do. Can you bring me one of those with some grenadine in it? And almost always I get the look of like, what are you, like 9? And I'm like, I just like cherry Coke. And it's my jam. And let me put a little plug in here.
Yeah.
There is a particular dew that's from the higher regions, since we're leaving everything nameless. Or are we leaving everything nameless? Mountain Dew Zero. Yeah. Mountain Dew Zero. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. I'm a fan.
We actually, I appreciate you saying that. A few episodes ago, we actually had a taste comparison between Mountain Dew and Mountain Dew Zero on this podcast. And
what a great idea.
I would agree.
Yeah.
So we came to the conclusion that it's better than Diet Mountain Dew,
yes,
but not as good as regular Mountain Dew.
Well, let's just do the zeros, or for example, like the ones that they claim taste like the original, like they'll say Diet Dr. Pepper, you know, and it's going to taste like your regular dark. I'm like, no, it tastes like syrup, like cough syrup. and then you've got all the Coke Zero. I will tell you, a Coke, a Cherry Coke Zero is not that bad either, but if we're talking zeros here, I got to give it to the Mountain Dew. It's legit.
Props.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Good to know.
Nice.
And good thing they're a sponsor for this podcast on this specific episode.
They are. Yeah. That's really kind of them.
Let's get some zero Mountain Dew Baja Blast up in here, and then everything will be fine.
That's controversial because I don't know how many people actually like Baja Blast.
Yeah. If you know, then you know.
If you know, then you know.
Well, it's like Coach Tommy McKnight said with the Allegheny baseball team head coach, with his top players.
Like Coach Knight always used
like
to say.
Coach McKnight, you know, when he was talking to Cole Murphy or Jared Foley or Blake Murphy or Alex Ingram or Blake Edwards, or even when Corey Hampton was on the team this past year, yeah. Ryan Sturgeon, Lucas Wag, you know, Julio Arreo, Daniel Bryan, just a great, all the top players at the Allegheny Trojan baseball team. It's like what he always said was, a Coke Zero for everybody means a win for everybody. So, you know what I mean? I don't know what that.
I remember that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, those are all some great student athletes, by the way, and I think they're all members of their local FCA chapter.
Yep.
Too, I believe they are. I believe they are, which is good.
Well, the FCA is a great club, so. We encourage everybody to be a part of it.
Yep.
We would. Absolutely.
So it's March, and March Madness is coming up. Wes, you're a huge college basketball fan, right?
Yeah. I think he is.
Kind of. Yes.
You like Duke.
I am a huge Duke fan. Yes, I am.
Okay. So why are you a Duke fan and not a University of North Carolina basketball fan?
Because my friend Terry liked Duke when I was in seventh grade.
Fucking no. Terry.
Yeah. It's all Terry's fault.
Back it up, Terry.
And everybody in my family was a UNC Tar Heel fan, and I just wanted to be different. And I really thought Terry was the coolest dude I knew. He liked Duke. Had no idea why he liked Duke. Still don't know why he likes Duke. And I just became a Duke fan. 1989, they ended up going to a couple championships, and they won a couple championships. And then it solidified my fandom of the Duke Blue Devils and Coach Krzyzewski.
Aren't those, question,
aren't they like really close, the two schools? Like, aren't they like 12 miles apart or something?
UNC, Duke, even Wake Forest has got a campus. NC State, all in Chapel Hill.
Man.
And Raleigh, North Carolina.
That's incredible.
Durham. Whoa. Durham, North Carolina.
Durham.
Oh, yeah. You're talking like the, what, third biggest rival in all of sports? Duke versus Carolina, which I think they actually play today, I think.
Look at that.
Oh,
what a perfect setup.
Wow. Oh. Yeah.
So
Andy, I'm gonna let you lead this. We have a bracket idea that we thought would be applicable.
You know, when the time I watch college basketball the most is when I spend $20 to try and compete on the bracket and lose $20 immediately. But there's always the top seeds, the top four, which are considered the best positions to be in. And then there's the 16th seeds, who are the schools you've never heard of. They're in, you know, probably Indiana somewhere, and they just happen to get in the tournament. So what we thought would be fun is to say, if you had to pick your top four, so the number one overall seeds of fast food, what would your top four fast food items be?
Items or restaurants?
I think items.
Yeah, I think we got to go items.
Top four. So we're going to go, what are the, if we're looking at the brackets, give me the northeast, southeast, northwest,
yeah,
southwest.
Okay, so let's start with the northeast. Let's just go around.
Northeast, I'm going to go two waffles and a bacon, egg, and cheese from Waffle House.
Ooh. Interesting. That sounds great.
Strong.
Yeah.
Strong number one seed.
Let's go. We're going southeast. Let's go. Oh gosh, so many good players. So many good players.
It's tough every year.
I'm gonna go the Quesarito.
Interesting.
From Taco Bell.
Okay.
With a couple additional items, as in, let's say the Mexican pizza that they have.
Okay.
As well as two, let's go one gordita and one chalupa in that meal.
I think you just ordered the entire Taco Bell menu.
It's so good.
Hey, that'll come to $4.83, by the way.
Go ahead and add a Baja Blast on there.
It's so good. Let's go southwest. Let's go just a Chipotle burrito, and this time we're gonna add the carne asada as the meat.
Okay, interesting.
You know, just a regular big gigantic burrito from there. And can I just throw out a little caveat here? People want to say that Qdoba is as good as Chipotle.
That's insane.
And I think that they have. I don't know what's wrong with those people.
Yeah, they've probably been in that chokehold too long. Their brains are melting.
Yes, that's exactly what. Most BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioners who've been choked a lot eat at Qdoba's, so it makes perfect sense.
That's absolutely correct, yeah. I think you're right.
I have an acquaintance or a friend that tells me anyway that he listens to this podcast.
Okay.
And he thinks, you know who you are. He thinks that Qdoba is better, and his rationale is that they give free queso.
No, that's not even that's not even a good reason.
Cares?
No, that's not a good reason.
Can you ask him to unsubscribe to this podcast, please?
Take your review back.
Have you guys heard of Moe's?
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of people compare Moe's to Chipotle, and really Moe's is a more expensive or better dine-in experience than a Taco Bell, but the food is not even on Taco Bell's level. So, and they want to try to compare. You know, their stuff to Chipotle. It's just not even, it's a dumb argument. It's like trying to tell Coach K how to coach basketball.
Right.
When you only coach little league basketball for 4-year-olds, you know what I mean?
On the weekends.
And it's not Coach K coaching the Duke Blue Devils. It's the Coach K that's coaching the world champions or Olympic gold medalist teams. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, people.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about Coach Knight for the Allegheny Trojans.
No. No.
Different Coach K. Oh, okay. Different Coach
My
K.
My bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Northwest. What do you got?
Northwest. This is going to sound super, super basic, but I'm going to go chili cheese fries.
Okay.
From Sonic with a foot-long hot dog with chili on it and ketchup. And a large cherry freaking Coke.
So you're doing, yeah. You're doing, you know what? Both chili and ketchup on that hot dog.
Heck yeah. And you know what else?
And on your fries.
And you know what else? I'm going to eat it in the playground. And my kids aren't even with me.
Yeah. You can just act like you have kids and claim some of the other ones that are in there.
Wow, that's incredible. I don't know if we need to give all of our top fours, but I would add one thing that is incredibly regional. But in Texas, we have everything. No one has burritos. Everyone does tacos in Texas for some reason. But yesterday, I had a chicken and waffles taco that will change your life.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
For the better?
Yeah, for the better. Maybe for the worse, Graham, for your cholesterol. But for the most part, for the better, because it had a whole egg in it for some reason. Bacon, the chicken, and the waffle, and it came with a side of syrup.
I'll try that out for my cheap month.
You guys lived in Scottsdale. Did you ever go to Lolo's Chicken and Waffles?
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know what's great about that restaurant is they served, now when I went there, they only served three drinks. Grape Kool-Aid, yep. Orange Kool-Aid.
Drink.
And sweet tea. And that was it.
Now, I had it on our outline originally, but I think I might have accidentally deleted it, but it's a good segue. You're an expert in sweet tea.
Me, as in Wes, me?
Yes, yeah.
100%.
What is the proper ratio of tea to sugar that should be used for a sweet tea?
Well, let's break it down scientifically. And even regionally, if you will. Most people would do, let's say Midwest or even Northeast, they're usually going to put about a teaspoon of sugar for a gallon. and they're going to call that sweet tea because there's a little bit of sugar in there. Now, if you move back over here to the Southwest, 6 cups of sugar into 1 gallon is acceptable. In other words, let me break it down to you. If you pour the tea into a glass with no ice in it and you hold it up to the light, you can actually see the melted sugar that's like kind of like almost looks like oil and water. Like legitimately, it looks like an oil inside of like dark water.
It's like looking at river water.
Yeah, if you can't actually see the oily substance, which is the sugar, then it's not sweet enough. And look, I get it. For a lot of people, that's too much. But you know, it's just that's how we do it in the South.
And that's alongside MMA, sweet tea is another thing that you opened my eyes to and helped me see the light. Mm. And ever since then, I just. If it doesn't feel like sand going down my throat, then it's not sweet enough.
Look, I'm the idiot that will actually spend the $7 or $8 to go to Chick-fil-A to buy a gallon. Like, that's so expensive. And I'm like, expensive? No.
But it's perfect.
Have you tasted this sweet tea?
Like, do you just put a straw on the top of the gallon and start drinking it straight out of the...
I have drank a whole gallon of Chick-fil-A sweet tea within 24 hours.
How quickly then were you diagnosed as a type 1 diabetic after that?
It was within 48 hours. But here's the good part is, it went away quickly. I it's been a while since I've done that because I just make my own if I do. But I actually haven't drank very much tea in the last year because, you know, the old blood pressure was a little high. So I had to lay off the caffeinated beverages.
Lay off the good stuff.
Yeah.
In order to help out, you go to Chick-fil-A and get sweet tea, but you don't then go home and add another cup.
No. No. I really do think Chick-fil-A probably puts that much sugar in their sweet tea.
They have to.
Probably.
It's so sweet. It's like, woo. And if it was an alcoholic beverage, I would have a very serious problem.
So just to recap, that's 6 cups of sugar per gallon. That's just basically a bag.
You can get away with 4.
Why would you want to?
But if you're going to put 4 cups of sugar in a gallon, you might as well just stop playing games. Stop playing games. Do the right thing and put the 2 other cups in there. And everyone should be thankful after they drink it.
I think that's a great point.
Although your MMA or your sweet tea knowledge is invaluable, truly, we brought you here to discuss MMA,
yes.
Which this is the main premise behind our podcast is to help people understand sports without actually having to watch them, because that can be a burden. So could you quickly, before we have you answer a couple of questions, could you give us an elevator pitch as to what MMA actually is?
Gosh, an elevator pitch. I would say MMA is probably the most raw version of fighting in a professional setting that you could ever watch. It's the most like a street fight, I should say. Now, with people like Bellator, UFC, ONE Championships, all the high-level guys, it's not a street fight, obviously, because these guys are highly trained, you know, athletes. But essentially, it's just a professional street fight, you know, minus some eye gouging, minus some biting, you know, no strikes to the groin, all those kinds of things. But you can't hit to the back of the head, can't knee to the spine. But there's a lot of stuff that you can do, so I would say it's really, I mean, how many times do you flip through Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and there's always some sort of video of a fight and you stop to watch the fight because you want to see it go down? Like, that chick is about to get hit. That other girl is mad. And you're like, it's about to go down. Or, you know, some dude walks by and gives the guy a shoulder and someone else has his cell phone out. And then, you know, they go to town, drunk fight, whatever. Basically, it's that just with like, where they make more money, and now millions of people love to watch it. And as you said earlier in the podcast, I have been watching this since 1994. So there you go. Before most of you,
it
were
sounds
born. So you know a little bit about it, and I think Andy, you know a lot about MMA, right?
Yeah, it sounds like it's basically the plot of Rocky V. So far, I'm in. The Rocky V is, I think, the only Rocky movie without an actual boxing match.
Correct.
So here are some things that I know about MMA at this point before you help educate us. I've heard on the internet that the CM Punk guy is an up-and-coming fighter. Is that correct?
Oh, Lord.
Because I think to be able to cross over is pretty amazing.
Wow, CM Punk, what an athlete that guy is, you know? Just a high level MMA practitioner.
Yeah.
He actually trains at Duke Rufus's, which is in Wyoming.
Of course, yeah.
With the likes of Tyron Woodley, Ben Askren, Anthony Pettis, Sergio Pettis. I mean, the list goes on of the who's who that comes from that gym that are high level fighters. They all represent,
yep, and
they represent MMA in all the major organizations, and CM Punk trains there. He's not that far from there. He lives in Chicago, right? So he's not terribly far from there. And you know, CM Punk did go, I think he went 0-2 in the UFC.
Okay.
And
well, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, he went 0-2 in the UFC. And
that means 2 wins, right? 0 losses, 2 wins.
Well, he definitely lost both fights, but he won.
Okay.
He didn't win anybody over because he was so terrible in the fights.
He had a good time.
Did he have a good time, or did he get his face beat in?
He got his face beat all the way in, and in his second fight especially. He looked like a 4-year-old trying to fight. He looked like a 4-year-old trying to fight the water in a kiddie pool that doesn't know how to swim. And all that said, you know what, he got paid 500 grand, I think, for each fight, and, you know, brought some eyeballs to a sport that already had a bunch of eyeballs on it, so didn't really need him.
Yeah,
there's already a big, huge crossover with professional wrestling and MMA. The fans are almost simultaneous. I would say even boxing now. Boxing's gotten a lot more fun lately. But pro wrestling, MMA, the characters are all there. It's just one's got real fighting, one has, you know, not as real fighting, and we all know which one that is.
What?
Yeah, professional wrestling is real. And yep. MMA is slightly real.
Scripted.
Yeah, it's scripted. Yeah, it's scripted drama. You mentioned another fighter, which I'm a huge fan of, Anthony Pettis.
Now, oh, yeah.
I don't know if he's actually a good fighter or not, but I saw him on the MTV program True Life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw a clip of him jump off the side of the cage and kick somebody in the head, which is pretty cool.
So that happened in Phoenix, Arizona?
So is that a good person? It did, our adopted hometown.
Yep. That happened in Arizona. That was about 2008, 2009, somewhere around there. He was fighting Benson Henderson. Anthony Pettis is a former UFC lightweight champion. He was the first UFC fighter to be featured on a Wheaties box. He's also fought in the featherweight division, the lightweight division, and the welterweight division. He was a champion in the WEC, then moved over to the UFC, won that belt. Now he's kind of on a downward sort of slope in his career. He's still high level though, but he will go down as one of the best MMA fighters to ever compete in multiple organizations and multiple weight classes. So, and of course, he himself is tired of his own kick because everyone asks him about that kick and he's tired of talking about it. You can even see, hey man,
yeah,
we saw that kick, one you did on the cage, man. And you could even see where he's just like, oh God, here it comes. You know, because that's all people talk about.
Again.
And that was like,
yeah, can you do it again?
12 years ago or something like that. He's creative. You know, he does, he's kind of got a kind of a karate, taekwondo kind of a style, which are not usually too useful in MMA, but he figured it out. And so his striking is very creative. He's fun.
Yeah.
Anthony Pettis is one of the greats, man. He's awesome.
So when someone asks me if I like the UFC, and I, of course, say yes because I don't want to be ashamed, Anthony Pettis is a good person to say my favorite fighter is.
100%.
That's great. I've been saying that for a while.
You can say...
So I'm glad.
What you can say is like, yeah, man, did you see him knock out Wonder Boy? And then you'll see them go, oh my gosh, yes, that was incredible. And you'll be like, I know it was. And then they'll think you're a true fan.
Who is Wonder Boy?
Wonder Boy, his name's Steven Thompson. He was like 49-0 in kickboxing with like 45 KOs.
Wow.
Switched over to MMA about 7 years ago. And he has probably the coolest fighting style out of probably anybody. Very like light on his feet, very karate-esque. I actually picked Steven Thompson to beat Anthony Pettis. And in the second round, Anthony landed one right on his jaw and put him away. Knocked him out. Knocked out Steven Wonderboy Thompson. He's top level MMA guy, top 10 fighter in the world. Anthony laid him out. And he was losing.
Heck yeah, he did.
He was losing badly in that fight. But
But then he came back.
He came back with one punch. It only took one punch.
One punch.
And it was
That's all it takes.
And then boom.
Rest in power, Wonderboy. Yep. Rest in power.
Shout out to Wonderboy. He's
gone
literally
too soon.
Literally the nicest human being in all of MMA. So there you go.
Really?
That's what nice guys get.
Yeah, that's what they get. That's what they get. Do you want to be nice? You're going to finish last.
Do you remember the BMF belt that was around last year?
Yes.
Yes.
Remember that? That was on ESPN all over the news. Well, Steven Wonderboy Thompson and another fighter named Max Holloway, who is the former featherweight champion of the UFC, got a little Twitter battle because they wanted to be the NMF, and they actually went toe to toe with each other on who was the nicest fighter in all of MMA. And they literally got into an apologizing fight on Twitter, and it was fantastic.
That's incredible.
And
my favorite part.
No, and he went on, there's a guy named Ari Helwani, who's the biggest MMA broadcaster, reporter, all that stuff, has his own podcast, and Steven was on there, and Steven's team actually made him a NMF belt and gave it to him and presented it to him on on and he was, what an honor.
That really is. My favorite part, I think, so far of MMA is when they have the standoffs. That's my favorite part.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, watch this weekend. There's some good standoff on the old ESPN channel on the YouTubes.
It's on ESPN Deportes.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Speaking of standoffs, I would like a quick fire hit here. I need your professional opinion, Wes. Yep. Would the following people be good at MMA or bad at MMA?
I'm ready.
Okay. Apollo Creed.
No, too much of a boxer.
Okay. Check. Daniel-san from Karate Kid.
Yes.
But the 80s Karate Kid, not the new one.
Yeah. Definitely the 80s.
Not the Hilary Swank version.
Yeah, because Miyagi was teaching Daniel to street fight. He wasn't teaching him to box. Where Apollo is a straight boxer. As soon as he fights a ground guy, he's getting taken to the ground. He's going to get submitted within 2 minutes.
Smart. There we go. This one's going to be pretty obvious. Steven Seagal.
100%. He's probably in his prime would have been the greatest fighter to ever live in MMA. Sensei is very, very, very good.
How about
been doing it for a long time?
How about Chuck Norris?
Well, 100%. I mean, is that even a question, you know?
Well, here's a bonus question for you. Walker, Texas Ranger.
I feel like he depends too much on his gun. You know what I mean? Where Chuck doesn't have a gun, right?
Wait. You can't use guns in MMA?
No, that's against the rules. That was last year.
I'm not watching this crap.
Yeah, last year.
I also feel like Walker wore just the tightest jeans.
Yeah.
And that would slow him down to get his kicks up there.
Yeah.
It didn't slow him down on the gazelle.
That's true. That's really, really true.
Yeah.
Next question. What would you say is the stone cold stunner of mixed martial arts? Is there a go-to move that's going to...
Yeah, just get the people going.
Please the folks and knock somebody out at the same time.
Well, Vince McMahon's just on the ground.
There's a great example way back in the day where if someone's going for an arm bar, Japanese arm bar specifically.
Of course.
And the opponent that's getting the arm bar put on, he grabs his wrist to prevent the arm from stretching all the way straight so that he doesn't get stuck in this submission, grabs his own arm, then stands up with the person while he's holding his arm, lifts him all the way up in the air, and then comes straight back down on that person's head and knocks him out.
Wow.
Dang.
What is that called?
It's actually very dangerous. It's called a slam.
Okay. Of course.
It's a very technical, very, very technical move. Yeah. But that's happened several times where someone's trying to go for an arm bar and they'll stand up if they've got the energy to do it and then slam their opponent. It's very dangerous, actually. It looks...
And then...
Makes me cringe.
Once the slam is hit, does somebody throw you beers so that you can drink them in front of the adoring fans?
No.
A la the Stone Cold Stunner.
Most MMA fans don't drink beer.
That's surprising.
Why do they have Modelo all over the place?
Well, as long as it's vegan beer or got protein in it, they'll drink it.
I feel like the drink
most
of
MMA
choice.
MMA fans just drink Monsters.
That's the drink of choice. It's like, well, I can have
here's
a
what I
protein
think is,
shake or a Monster.
I've been to 6 live UFC events. And what I think is really, really good is to take a bunch of people, mostly of the male gender, let's put them in an arena in one big, huge sort of room with a bunch of testosterone, and then let's serve them at least 7 beers apiece while they're watching fighting, you know, some within 100 feet to 200, 300 feet from them, and let's just see what that's going to be like. It's a great sociological experiment amongst males. And you wouldn't, you know, you would think that, you know, there wouldn't be any sort of like arguments or fights or the security having to be called out in the stands. You know, even though people are drunk watching fighting, you wouldn't think that that would happen. But ironically, it does. Ironically, every UFC.
Surprising.
Yeah, everyone I've been to.
I've always heard that UFC fans are the most polite sports fans. So I'm shocked to hear this.
I know. It's crazy, right?
I know.
You know who's very polite?
Who?
Andy's favorite crossover artist.
Yep.
Is Brock Lesnar.
Right.
And I hear that he's very polite.
I've heard this as well.
Nice guy.
Because he's a wrestler.
Yep.
And Andy, you had a question about Brock Lesnar.
He has a giant knife tattoo on his chest, and I'm curious if that helps or hurts his MMA career.
That hurts his MMA career.
Okay, why is that?
Uh-oh. Well, you know, in light of the fact that I do work for a church, I'll say it this way. Most people don't attribute that sword on his chest as being a sword.
Oh, I see what you're getting at.
And so it
has some phallic properties.
Well, it's just it's a meme. It's a meme in the MMA community, and not a good meme. You know what I mean?
But I'm also willing to bet that like if someone, you'd be crazy to tell him that, right? Because he's a scary dude.
He's 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Now, he is a professional wrestler, but he was also a Division I national champion from the University of Minnesota.
Right.
He was a national runner-up the year before as a junior in college. So the reason he was so successful in MMA was because of his wrestling, his scholastic wrestling. So not only can he do backflips off the top turnbuckle, but he can also, you know, pin you in a wrestling match. So, you know,
he's a big dude. Yeah.
I thought his success came from having Sable in his corner, but you might be right. Could have been the wrestling.
And then I think the last like quickfire question I had was, is there a better MMA fighter to follow on Instagram than Derek Jones, which I think he's called the Beast?
Oh, Derek Lewis?
That's it.
Derek Lewis, that's it.
Derek Jones, Lewis, it's all the same.
Gosh, man, Daniel Cormier is pretty fun. Mike Perry's pretty fun.
I feel like MMA is a great sport for Instagram because they can just show like 30 seconds at a time.
Michael Bisping is a fun one to follow.
Okay.
These are big namers, big time guys. I'm trying to think of the ones that make me laugh. Chael Sonnen is good.
Okay.
Professor Chael, he's good. Ariel Helwani's good because he's just more informative, but you know he's fun.
Yeah.
Israel Adesanya, who's got a fight this weekend, he's got a pretty good Instagram.
So it sounds like they're crossover.
The Last Airbender. All right, you've been very valuable. I know you got to get going. We just have one more quick segment for you,
yeah,
Wes, and we can just rapid fire this. You know, we just want your picks because you're very educated. So we're gonna propose some fights to you, and we need your
pick. Look at this. Hold on 1 second. Pause 1 second. Look at this. Conor McGregor's got 32 million Instagram followers. Khabib Nurmagomedov's got 18 million. Ronda Rousey, Andy, little WWE there for you, got a little 12.6 million. John Jones got 4 million. Nate Diaz, who should be in the WWE, why isn't he there yet? 4.1 million. Anderson Silva, 3.4 million. George St. Pierre's got 2 million. I mean, you know, these guys are, there you
go.
They're
killing it.
They should all.
That's some baller Instagram.
They should form a club that is to try and get as many cumulative followers as the We Watch Sports and My MMA Podcast Instagram accounts.
Yeah, combined.
Because they're getting
Well,
yeah, they are.
They're getting
Well,
there.
You know why they haven't.
So they can sell tummy tea.
It's because they know it's an unreachable goal.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. Quick fire. Need your picks. Expert opinion. This is who would win.
Okay.
And you can decide whether it's on the street, in the octagon. Yeah. You know what? Actually, let's just go street. This is
street,
street
fight. And these are all people in their primes.
Okay.
These people get disgruntled at each other at a restaurant and they take it outside.
Yes.
Who wins?
Okay.
Stone Cold Steve Austin against Cowboy Cerrone.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Size difference.
Great pick.
Via stunner,
yep.
I'm sure.
Yeah, both of them are already drunk on Budweiser.
Right.
So you got to imagine that Donald Cerrone's technical skills are out of the water. And so now you're looking at size, you know, sheer intimidation factors here going on. Stone Cold all day.
Yeah.
All right. There it is. $1 million man, Ted DiBiase versus Floyd Mayweather.
Well, if we're going $1 million to $1 million, Mayweather wins that fight. But if we're just going street fight here, Ted DiBiase, baby. He's got okay. He's got Jesus on his side. He's a Christian, big time Christian minister now. So, you know,
Amen.
My wife turned to me about 10 years ago on a railway at the airport. She's like, babe, I think that guy is famous. And she's like, so I looked at him, and sure enough, the $1 million man standing right next to me. And she turns to him and is like, are you famous? And he's just kind of smiles. $1 million man standing right. I never felt so just honored.
That has to be one of the highlights of your life, right?
It was.
Yeah.
Complete highlight.
And now he's a pastor, so he is the $37,000 a year man. That's fine. Next one, Rowdy Roddy Piper versus Conor McGregor.
Oh, man, you're making this almost too easy for me. Rowdy Roddy Piper, dude. Have you seen how he elbows people?
Oh,
you know what I mean? And then when he pulls the bagpipes out, one Conor is not going to be able to handle the bagpipes. You know what I mean? And... You got a little rivalry with the Scottish versus the Irish. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
The skirt.
Nobody. Is there anything more humiliating than getting knocked out by a guy in a kilt?
I don't know.
Not much, no.
But I'll tell you, when Mr. T and Hulk Hogan wrestled him and Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, back in 1982 at the first WrestleMania. Come on.
Sparks flew. Just two more. How about Ronda Rousey, UFC versus Ronda Rousey, WWE?
Let's go Ronda Rousey, UFC.
Okay.
What
do you think? Sumagaeshi into armbar. Mm-hmm.
Of course, yeah. I know what those are.
Bring out some judo. All right, last one. Bill Goldberg versus John Jones.
John Jones.
Ooh, controversial.
John Jones. You know why? Because
he has good spear defense.
what a great move that is. Touche, Goldberg. I will say Goldberg does spit water out of his mouth really, really intimidatingly.
He does. He also wears the UFC gloves like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I actually think John Jones would be a great professional wrestler. But I'm going to go John Jones. He's literally the greatest fighter to ever live on planet Earth. So
that's fair.
That's totally fair.
There you have it.
Yeah, there you have it. Hot off the press.
Wes, it has been a pleasure.
You guys,
please come back and talk nonsense with us.
I would love to.
That was great. And thank you so much,
everybody,
Russ.
All 42 million listeners, yep. Go check out the My MMA podcast. It's probably going to surpass the We Watch Sports podcast, yeah. But you know,
that's hard.
That's fine.
It's a good time. I listened to the latest episode yesterday on my drive home.
Oh, I feel honored. I feel like legitimately feel honored. I told Graham that yesterday.
Yeah, I'm ready for the fights this weekend. I learned everything I need to
probably,
know.
We don't have the ability to master the Stockton slap like you do, but because we both live in hipster towns, I was thinking we could get like the avocado slam.
Yes,
that would be
or
good.
Or maybe the kombucha kick.
You could do the plaid. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was thinking something for plaid.
Just the plaid. Just the plaid
punch.
The plaid punch. There you go. Sorry, it was so easy. It was right there. I couldn't even think of that.
You don't even see
Followed
the punch
up with
coming.
A kombucha kick.
Yeah, you'd be out.
That's enough. All right. Thanks, Wes.
You guys are the best. I love you all.
You are.